escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried-and-true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
You are listening to
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
It's 99.9 KISW Metal Shop. I'm recording from home. It is on lockdown here in Washington State. So I'm talking to Trevor Sternad from Black Dahlia Murder. Their new record, Verminous, is coming out April 17th on Metal Blade Records. It's their ninth album on Metal Blade. We've been playing the singles from it. Very much looking forward to the record. But first off, where are you calling from? And are you pretty much just staying inside?
Yeah, I am locked down in Brooklyn, New York. I've been living out here for the last 2 years, and it was shut down before I even came back from South Africa. So this is probably my 10th day on lockdown, but the people here have been locked down a little bit longer.
So, Trevor, how are you holding up, man, and how are you staying busy, and like, are you getting stir-crazy?
A little bit, but I mean, I'm kind of a homebody when I'm at home from tour anyway. I kind of get my fill of human interaction out on tour.
Sure.
And so it's not entirely too different from what I would normally do, you know, hanging out in my pajama pants, listening to lots of music.
Yep.
Doing lots of press right now, which has been a good kind of a good problem to have, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the impending record release. And yeah, man, just kind of sitting here waiting, dude. It's pretty obvious that our tour with Testament is about to be thwarted by this.
Sure.
I mean, guys in the band have it.
Yeah.
Which is very unfortunate. You know, I'm pulling for Chuck. It seems like he's on the up now.
Good.
According to Metal Press. But, yeah, you know, that's obviously going to get nixed here pretty soon, which is a huge bummer. I mean, that was, like, going to be a big chunk of our income for the year.
And yeah.
Probably the biggest tour we've ever been afforded, you know? So it's a little bit sad, but you know, everybody's going through this right now, and just got to kind of keep it positive. And, you know, I'm just focusing on the record release, and everything seems to be online with that, and pre-orders are flying, and people are seeming to like it so far. So, you know, I'm just kind of staying with that excitement.
Absolutely, man. And you know, you mentioned some definite bummer news there, but like, there's so much bummer news and coming from everyone, and it's and not to downplay what you're going through or what my friends are going through, but it's, there's almost a sense of community coming from, like, hey man, like, seriously, like, this it's almost a better feeling knowing that everyone's going through some now, and it's not just us. It's not just
right.
me or
it's,
you.
It's kind of like leveled the playing field in a way. You know what I mean? Everybody's suffering right now. Everybody is going through this. So, yeah, it's just interesting times. You know, never dealt with anything like this. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, it's just it's interesting. And they started with a 2-week lockdown, but it's been like, I think that was just to ease us all into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then it's going to get interesting a month from now, I think.
I think so too, man. And all we can do is just kind of try to, and that's what I'm doing, man. I'm doing a lot more interviews and a lot more podcasts. I actually just started like doing some video interviews on YouTube just to keep myself busy, and also just try to create some content, because people, you know, want something to, I mean, obviously, you know, we want to find out the news. We want to keep, you know, in the know about things. But at the same time, sometimes you need some distractions, some positive things to look into, you know, and
oh, for sure, for sure. I think everybody is looking for that distraction right now. So, as far as like the timing of our record release,
I know
it's bad to be coming out during the pandemic.
Imagine that.
I think that people will be locked down the first week of the release, so that's kind of going to take a hit for that. But at the same time, it's nice to be releasing something that people will have, you know, that hopefully lift their spirits a little bit, and they'll have plenty of time to dissect it, you know, so that's a good thing. And also, you know, we filmed so much content and stuff like beforehand, just for the timeliness of the release. But now, like, you know, people need content. So it's a good, you know, it's working out a little bit.
Man, so the album coming out during this crazy time, this is going to be an album like, this is not going to be an album you forget about. Like, not saying that like the album, you know, is forgettable at any way, but this is just going to put that extra little thing, like, hey, remember when we released that record, our ninth album, and dude, the entire world was
and we had songs about a plague ending the world on the record, and just, God. You know, the whole concept of like the vermin carrying the plague. And, you know, a year and a half ago when we were tracking this album, we had no idea, obviously, that this was going to be so like timely. But yeah, they definitely won't forget this record, that's for sure.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about the record here in a second, but as far as just some things maybe you would suggest, like, or some things that are keeping you sane, as far as like, have there been any shows you've been deep diving, or movies that you've kind of put on to forget about some craziness? What would you suggest for people?
Well, I think everybody has seen Game of Thrones except me, but that's what I've been doing lately, just like bulldozing through it.
Nice.
And I remember like when it came out, I took one look at it and I was like, no thanks, this isn't gonna work for me. But once I dove in, like, it's as good as everyone said. It's definitely been a fun ride, and definitely kicks a lot of my D&D boxes from back in the day, you know, so that's exciting. But just been playing a lot of video games and listening to a lot of music, and I'm conspiring to maybe do some streaming of said video games.
Ooh.
That would be something to like pass the time and maybe have a little bit of income trickling in, which would be nice.
Dude, yeah, and, hell yeah.
It's something I've been putting off for a while, and like I have the camera for it and everything. Just got to kind of like figure out how to do it. But that seems like a good use of time. And
there's literally no excuse at this point. There's no excuse to say like, hey, I don't have the time. Nope, motherfucker, the time.
yeah, no doubt, man. No doubt.
So, again, the record of Verminous is coming out April 17th. But I wanted to ask a couple questions about the record. So, going into the album, it being your ninth, did you guys have any different approach, or did you want to tweak anything? Or how do you guys go into, you know, because you guys have been a long and time-tested band. How do you guys approach writing a brand new album?
Honestly, nothing really deviated from the norm, you know. We just kind of started writing songs and passing them through the emails and stuff. But, you know, I think that there's been like an overarching effort to make a more various album, which this definitely is. I think this is the most variety we've ever seen on a record.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, the ambition has been slowly creeping in to do that. And, you know, I feel like we kind of started a new era with Nightbringers and having Brandon Ellis come into the fold.
Totally.
As a songwriter.
Yeah.
And he's definitely, like, you know, he left quite a stamp on that record, but he definitely like has spread his wings in the band here. So, you know, like one thing I noticed right away was that there was a lot more variety. You know, we're trying new things, like mining from different corners of the metal spectrum, you know, a bit more from like classic heavy metal, a new wave of British heavy metal.
Hell yeah.
There's a song on there, Feast of the Wereworm, that's pretty King Diamond influenced, different for us.
Yeah.
So, you know, it feels like we didn't really plan it, but it seems like a bigger evolutionary jump than we would normally take between two records. You know, I feel like it was really ambitious this time around. And in that way, it made it hard to choose the singles, because the singles, like, especially the first one we put out, Verminous, that's probably the most straightforward, most like typical Black Dahlia song on the record.
Okay.
But it was hard to select the singles because you can't really, like, summarize the record with them because it's just so, they're so vastly different, you know, all the songs. So, but yeah, man, you know, there's always this selfish need to, like, be more creative and more technical in our playing and songwriting chops, you know, like... It feels like every record we write is harder to play than the last.
Oh no,
you know what I mean. But it's kind of like it's a good problem. It feels really rewarding when you get up on stage and you play through a more complex song and a more texturous, more, you know, emotive song. And that's kind of what we've been going for instead of just trying to be the most extreme version of the band we can be. But just trying to make songs that really last and that are really anthemic and more emotive, you know? And it's, I feel like we've been too aggressive at times and too technical.
Huh, okay.
And we've made records that just came out like a barrage, you know, where it's just too much, too many songs in the red at all times.
Sure.
And that can become kind of static, I think, you know? Like, it's just I have a million records in my collection that are too extreme to make it through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's definitely a problem. So we try to be as colorful as we could and as creative and yeah, man, you know, I feel like we covered some new ground on this record, but also it's part of the plan to always be recognizable as Black Dahlia from the first notes, you know, so it's kind of a interesting line to straddle.
You want to deviate a bit, but you don't want to, like, you know, leave your fans kind of like hanging, like, hey, what this is the where's the Black Dahlia I loved?
Right. Yeah. Deviate, but not alienate, you know,
and that's a good way to put it.
And I feel like I think we all, you know, feel like we've known the formula for a Black Dahlia song for a long time, but it's really just in the minutia, in the small choices and details that you can make during songwriting and that make the songs better, you know, some better than others. So you know, we've just been learning with age and experience, and you know, I don't feel like this is a record that we could have made 10 years ago. You know, there's it's definitely more informed musically, and I'm really excited to see what people think about it,
dude. It's something I'm actually anxious to see. I haven't seen any of them physically, but I saw the pre-order packages for the D&D kind of D&D influenced Black Dahlia Murder pre-order package. So I am not a D&D guy personally. My neighbor and my roommates play it. It looks really fascinating. I've never done the deep dive on it, but fill me in. How exactly do you guys have a Black Dahlia Murder game?
It's a one-off adventure for D&D for 5th edition, and it's basically themed around the album's artwork and some lyrical themes.
Awesome.
And yeah, you know, we've been flirting with the idea of like a role-playing kit for a long time for a pre-order, like, but it only started as like dice and a dice bag and like a Dungeon Master's screen. But this time, our merch guru, Kareem Peter, who runs Night Shift Merch, our merch company.
Yep.
And he's a long time, like kind of like sixth member of the band, I would say. He used to be our tour manager for about 10 years. And, you know, he's a really close confidant of the band. And he's like, yo, man, let's do that role-playing thing, but let's like take it up a notch. Let's have an adventure made, you know?
Oh, absolutely,
so,
dude.
So we contacted some people that we knew. Dungeon Punks wrote it, and Nerdgore illustrated it, so it has its own like individual artwork for it.
So cool.
And yeah, it came out really cool. And you know, there's a big crossover for I mean, metal is a nerdy music, you know what I mean?
For
and
sure.
D&D is definitely nerdy, so there's a big crossover there, and there's been a lot of excitement out of the gate about it, and it's definitely helped the pre-order pick up some steam.
That's awesome.
And that's your only hope now. I mean, it's hard to convince people to buy a physical copy when you know, streams are just readily available, and so, you know, you got to be creative with this kind of thing. And for us this time, it was the D&D adventure and the slime filled vinyls that we did, and it was
so
a very
awesome.
Limited amount of slime filled vinyls because they were insanely painstaking to make and very expensive. But you know, there was only 50 available to the public, so we knew we were going to be pissing people off right out of the gate. You know, that was kind of like, it was kind of bittersweet to, yeah. to do that, but also just that they existed mm-hmm. made such a big stink in the and metal news and media and stuff that, like, that kind of helped with the pre-orders too. So, yeah, we definitely got lucky this time to kind of like hone in on a couple good ideas and see them into fruition, you know.
Dude, that's so killer. And you know, I caught something you said there about how hard it is to get people to buy physical copies while streams are readily available. And you, I follow you on social media and some of the articles you write. And you are someone who still loves buying physical, like, CDs specifically of metal bands. What makes you want to continue to just, like, be the physical copy guy and have, like, a huge CD collection?
It's just what I know. It's just what I like. You know, the collectability kind of is an aspect of appeal for me. Just staying the course from what I've always known pretty much.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Like, I still use streaming services, like, at times. They're very convenient, very easy. And especially for playing, for me, like, I don't have a music collection outside of metal, you know, a physical collection. So,
for sure.
But I like all kinds of music, but, you know. Metal and buying metal records is where my heart lies, you know. So I try to kind of, like, set an example with my columns and stuff, and in hopes that people will pick up physical copies. And, you know, especially on the small scale that these death metal bands are working, you know, these smaller labels and stuff, like, one physical copy, like, it's felt by the band, you know what I mean? Like, it's not just like a faceless thing. Like, these bands are small, and, like, you know, just word of mouth is, like, the best kind of power that metal has, I feel like, still. So for me, streaming is to check things out, and but I'm feeling obligated to buy things and, you know, support bands through those avenues. And I just think that there's a real collecting culture in death metal and in the underground, you know, and then that's just part of that whole, like, nerdy appeal of it.
Absolutely, man. And that's one thing about metalheads too, is it seems like metalheads and metal fans, and even fans of, like, punk, hardcore, more underground, aggressive music, are more likely to purchase music and more likely to go out and actually support the artists that they see at, you know, whether it be a venue like El Corazon or a venue like a VFW hall. You know, they see the
right,
and they have that connection. So it's pretty cool.
I mean, that's why you have, you know, a band like Power Trip, which is huge in our scene, that, like, they don't have that many streams because their culture is for people that buy records, you know what I mean?
Totally.
People that, like, support physical copies mm-hmm. and actually go out to shows and stuff. So, you know, streams aren't everything. You can't judge every band's worth just on their streams, you know what I mean?
Oh, that's a good point. And I wanted to know about, so you do write these articles and you get a lot of bands, specifically a band from Seattle that I saw on your Oxygen Destroyer. Freaking awesome band. You're an outspoken supporter of these underground metal bands through your columns and through, you know, just your platform that you have, being in a very popular metal band. What are some new bands you think that we should get on our radar? Maybe just a couple that you've been jamming.
I would recommend everything that's coming out on Maggot Stomp Records.
Yeah.
Really like Maggot Stomp. Frozen Soul is awesome. Mortal Wound is probably my favorite of the bunch. But yeah, it's like, they're one of those labels right now that everything they put out is just like an automatic buy. You know
nice,
what I mean?
Dude.
And what else? Temple of Void. I mean, they're not exactly new now, but
sure.
I feel like they don't get enough love. They're from Detroit, where we're from,
mm-hmm.
and they play, like, old school death doom, like early Paradise Lost,
hell yeah,
kind of stuff. And their new record just dropped, The World That Was, on Shadow Kingdom Records, and that's going to make some waves, man. So definitely recommend getting on that ahead of the curb. And let me think, what else? I just picked up the new Molested Divinity album.
Oh, I haven't heard that yet.
In Brutal Circles, like, they're definitely, like, gaining a lot of ground. And they have the singer from Cenotaph from Turkey. Turkish band.
Yeah.
And, it's very brutal, very guttural,
yeah.
You know, very fast. highly recommend that one.
Nice, dude. So if you, you know, and it doesn't have to be new bands. It could just be like all-time favorites or just some stuff you would try to jam, man. If you hosted your own radio show, say you took the place of Metal Shop for a night, what would you play, dude?
Play some Autopsy.
Yeah.
Mental Funeral is one of my favorite death metal records. Grave. Definitely. Hating Life is like a really underrated record from them. I think people kind of that record when it came out, but it's definitely awesome. A lot of lyrical influence for me from that album.
Okay.
There were some necrophilia themes, but it wasn't just like, it was more like this love beyond the grave and like a relationship that went beyond the grave.
Romantic.
Kind of like, that really kind of like left a mark on me, just how the romance of it and the kind of creepiness of it that made it seem more real, you know what I mean, than your standard necrophilia tropes. So that definitely left a mark on me, and I've done a lot of necrophilia songs with Black Dahlia, obviously. And, Grave, Hating Life, very cool record. What else? Lots of old thrash stuff. I've been kind of like mining thrash history the last couple years.
Cool.
There's just so many like great albums that were glossed over, and it was such a like overcrowded genre at the time. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Like just so many albums came out, and a lot of which weren't on my radar. But Zentrix from the UK has been getting a lot of airtime for me. The album Shattered Existence. It's very like Bay Area thrash influenced, very Metallica-esque.
Yeah.
But, you know, the songs are really strong and very catchy stuff. But, you know, I've been making some playlists and I'm going to put them out there to the world, try to entertain some people for a while, hopefully with it. But, I could definitely get into, being a DJ of sorts on the air. That'd be awesome.
Hell yeah, man. Well, I mean, you're busy enough, but you know, if you ever think about a second little day gig, you know, that, or night gig actually, rather, no one's playing metal during the day on radio stations.
right.
But I
have a Gimme Radio takeover coming in the pretty soon. Lined up with the album coming out, and I put some real hits on that one.
Hell yeah, man. All right, well, let's think here about like going back in the Trevor memory banks. What was the first CD, tape, vinyl, first physical piece of music that you ever purchased on your own with your own money, not given to you by like a cool older brother or your mom or something? What was the first album you ever went and bought on your own?
Ooh, man, it has to be something really funny, like Fresh Prince and DJ Jazzy Jeff,
okay.
Summertime,
yeah.
That record, the one with Summertime on it, or it might have been TLC, the first TLC album.
Oh, yeah, ooh, on the TLC tip.
Yeah, that was a good one. And or it might have been another Bad Creation. You know, I was definitely, like, taping all of these songs off the radio at the time, and you know, my first metal records were, I think Countdown to Extinction was probably the first CD that I ever bought with my money.
Yeah,
but I was kind of coming in right at the end of tapes and the segue into CDs, you know. But that's the record that like blew the whole metal world open for me and kind of made me realize that metal was my thing and there were other people out there like me. And, you know, I felt kind of like an alien before that, you know, the world of sports didn't really have much appeal to me, and just the other things that seemed to excite people just didn't work for me. So the day of sixth grade, when I came home and saw the Symphony of Destruction video, it definitely changed my life.
That's awesome, man. And dude, that band is still going strong, and Dave Mustaine beating cancer, freaking awesome.
For sure. That's great.
What we know about the first album now. What's the last album you purchased?
Twitch of the Death Nerve. I'm looking at the CD right now.
Cool.
It's on Comatose Music.
Yeah.
The album is A Resting Place for the Wrathful. And it's very guttural, brutal death metal from the UK. Highly recommended if you like it gross.
Nice, and I do like it gross. All right, Trevor. So your vocals, I mean, you just have so much character and like you can immediately just be like, oh, that's Trevor from Black Dahlia. What were some of your vocal influences like growing up? You know, when you were gonna start a band or you were getting into death metal, who were some of your favorite vocalists that inspired your style?
Definitely Carcass is like the biggest influence on me. And, it was the earlier records where they had two vocalists and the interplay between the high voice and the low voice, mm-hmm. you know? So I really liked that approach and the layering thereof, you know, a high and a low together. It makes that kind of like deicide-y kind of thing going on.
Totally.
And, that just, I thought that was so gross and so like, so different, you know. And so when we started the band, I was trying to do the two different voices, and I remember like recording the first demo and like doing those layering tricks and just thinking, wow, this is so cool, hell yeah, you know. But another big influence is Ben Falghost from Soylent Green.
Yes,
he's one of the best frontmen out there. And while we were recording that same demo in 2001, mm-hmm. We went to a show in Detroit after the session, and it was Immolation headlining, and Goat Horror was direct support.
That's awesome.
And just seeing the way he performed and like kind of spoke with his hands, and like this was like so expressive with his body up there.
Yeah.
And it really like affected me and like started the whole like singing with the claw thing, you know.
Yeah.
What I mean? And kind of like the whole gremlin-esque stance of it. And yeah, you know, and he's also one of those multifaceted vocalists with a, you know, multiple voices. He's got the low and the high, and he's also just a really inspiring dude. You know, he's a really positive force in the scene. And, man, we've toured with him and his bands like so many times, and I don't think I've ever seen him play a bad show.
Nice.
Or be in a bad mood. Like, the guy is just, you can't stop him, man. You know, he endured those accidents where the Soylent crashed their van, and mm-hmm. he had to get surgery on his feet, and on his they had to like take a piece of his stomach and put it on his foot, like to like graft it on. So, I mean, he's been through a lot, and, you know, he recorded the second Goat Horror album, like, sitting in a wheelchair, basically.
Wow.
You know, and, like, you just can't stop the guy. Like, nothing can stop him, you know? So he's just, like, I don't know. He's a hero to me, for sure.
Dude, that's awesome. And you guys are label mates, and like you said, you've toured a lot. That's really cool.
Yeah, you know, I've made no bones about it to him, you know. I tell him that he's the man.
Well, you talked about the claw that you have on stage and kind of that gremlin stance that you mentioned. Have you ever had any like really gnarly, kind of like cringy, embarrassing moments on stage? And if so, like, is there anything that stands out?
There's all kinds of stuff, man. There's there's a show in Arizona where we were playing a very small venue with Gate Creeper.
Nice.
And
yeah.
This girl was there, and she was terrorizing me. Like, she pantsed me, like, pulled down my shorts in front of everyone, and my little weenie went flapping.
Oh, my God.
And, like, she just kept me and, like swatting the mic out of my hands and, like, just, like... Like, she knew that I wasn't going to do anything. You know what I mean? It was such a weird dynamic. It was awful. At the end of the set, I went up to her. I was like, yep, I hate you. But there's another time that popped into my mind where we were at this outdoor festival in mm-hmm. Europe, and we're about to go on, and it's starting to rain, and Walls of Jericho is there waiting in the wings, kind of like checking us out, and they're local. They're like local heroes to us. You know, when we were kids, they were in this band Earth Mover.
Oh, that band kicks ass, dude.
Yeah, man. And they were the kings, you know, being in Detroit.
Yep.
And we recorded with Mike from Walls, like, our first record, Unhallowed. So we're like, all right, cool. Here's our chance to, like, show them what we've been up to, you know, and, like, really rock them out and like, impress the older generation. And first note to the set, I get up there, step in this big puddle, and go like feet overhead, like completely just wipe out and knock the wind out of myself, like the first moment of the set.
Oh,
and I just
God.
Remember, like, of course, right now, you know.
Wow. Well, that's certainly a couple different, you know, looking. Yeah, that's certainly answered my question, dude. Thank you. All right, man. So just a couple more questions. We're talking with Trevor from Black Dahlia Murder. Their new record, Verminous, is coming out April 17th on Metal Blade Records. All right. So we all know the big four of thrash: Slayer, Anthrax, Metallica, Megadeth. For you, Trevor, you're a huge death metal head. What are your big four of death metal?
Ooh, man, this is going to be hard. Like a bunch of bands pop immediately into my mind. Suffocation for sure. Pearson Within was my first death metal record ever.
That's my favorite.
Yeah. So good. So good. Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah.
This is hard. Obituary.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
Love them. Love Cause of Death the most. And I guess Autopsy will have to be the fourth one.
All right, man.
And I feel like they're the more underrated of the four mentioned, you know.
Yeah.
But I think since they reformed, they've been picking up a lot of steam, and like, you know, the records they made in the early days were just classic, man. Just classic, like doomed out, just slow, diseased death metal. Highly recommended.
And you know, I don't ask, like, you know, altogether, like, the big four. I just ask, like, what's your personal big four? So I like you answer that with your personal favorites. So,
but then I didn't say Carcass, too, so, like, I'm already blasphemy, you know? Like, it's... So it's just four is just not enough.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And that's with thrash, too. Like, you can't say big four and then be like, well, what about Exodus? What about Testament? What about Overkill? What about Death Angel? So...
Right, yeah.
There was always got to be more than four. All right, Trevor, so after all this, you know, this mess subsides and hopefully we're on the other side of it, and whenever that time frame is, in your opinion, how will the world change in a positive way coming out of this? What are some positive side effects that you could see possibly coming out of this?
Well, you know, I'm hoping that this is going to lead to some kind of change with the healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, people are really going to realize how much we need to, like, eliminate healthcare as a business, you know, and as like a money making scheme,
sure,
like,
yeah,
really get something in place. But, you know, I hope that that, you know, that people are communicating. I hope that it kind of brings us together in a way. You know, it seems like you said earlier, like, it seems to be working in that regard, you know. But
yeah.
And I, you know, I just hope that that when we come out on the other side of this, that that we're all stronger for it, you know.
Absolutely, man. And I think there's a good chance we will be, and we'll all certainly, if we're safe to go to concerts, I think we'll all, like, really, really appreciate even a for a band that we don't even like. We'll be like, yes, music, I don't even like this band.
I didn't quite really think about that, but yeah, people are going to be extra excited to go back to concerts, and yeah, you know, maybe less people will be taking us for granted out there, you know, like spending all our time driving around in vans and stuff, you know.
Totally, man. We'll all be like, I saw like a meme that was like, hey, hello, it was like, dear rock gods, please, if you give us concerts back, we promise not to be on our cell phones the whole time.
Yeah, that would be nice.
So there's a, we're barraged with like bad news, and it's hard to be in that constant, like feedback cycle. But so just, personally, I like to ask, some people that I've been speaking with lately, within the last couple of weeks, Trevor, what are a couple things that you're personally grateful for?
Oh man, just, I mean, I'm grateful for this entire experience of, the Black Dahlia Murder, having growing success over the years and surviving different trends in heavy music, mm-hmm, and still being here coming up on 20 years, you know? So it's like my dream is still unfolding.
Yeah.
You know, like it didn't just end. But, you know, being in a band and is something that you have to like constantly maintain, you know, as a, like doing it as a career. There's no like, no stopping in sight ever. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of like married to the road. But I'm so thankful for that. This is my life, and to have so many great fans, and to have a voice in the metal scene, and to help other bands out, and you know, it's just definitely, you know, this is definitely a good time to reflect on the good things.
Absolutely, man. And there is a lot of good things. You know, they might be kind of buried sometimes within the headlines, but there are a lot of really good things. And you guys are an incredible band. And one question we like to ask every artist that we get on the phone with, it's kind of a weird one, but if you could pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got it, Trevor.
Ooh, I have a scar on my pubis.
Uh-oh.
From a hernia operation.
Oh.
And I got the hernia at band practice. I remember the exact moment, like feeling it pop, like during a scream.
Oh my God.
So it definitely sucks. The surgery sucked. I mean, people have been through a lot worse hernias than I have,
sure.
But you can't sit up the first day. It feels like you did 3 billion like sit ups or crunches.
Yeah.
Like you have to like roll out of bed to do anything, and it's pretty miserable. But that definitely, had me reassessing my approach to vocals, and you know, finding avenues that were more educated, so I wouldn't do it again.
Burst your pubis. Don't burst your pubis on us, dude.
Yeah, my pubis is such a great word, right?
Right. We were just talking with Trevor from Black Dahlia Murder. Verminous is coming out April 17th on Metal Blade Records. You can pre-order it. Make sure next time they come through town, who knows? We're on a weird time frame here in the world, as we all are. But, you know, next time they come through town, pick up the album, pick up a t-shirt. I know that, like, underground metal bands, certainly you can use the support. Is there anything you want to say to the Northwest audience ahead of this record or... while we have you here for you.
Thanks to anybody that's going the extra mile and pre-ordering the album. It means a lot to us. And we are assembling a tour for the fall.
Nice.
Right now across the U.S., a headliner, in hopes that this will all be blown over by then.
Mm-hmm.
So people will get their chance to see us and hear the new tunes.
Yeah.
And so far, the package is really, really awesome. It's going to be a very big tour, but I can't really reveal too much about that at this point, as you'd imagine. But
yeah, man.
We'll see you all soon, man, once we weather the storm.
Hell yeah, man. Trevor, thank you so much, dude.
Oh, thanks for having me, man. It's been fun.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids to a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.